B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mass, just to reset where we began. More Brady drama. And more truth being spoken by the Brady camp. We had Alex Guerrero in a story by Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald Post early this morning, in which basically Alex Guerrero called Bill Belichick out of touch. Basically said that, I'll read you the quote. He said, "The interesting thing I think here, and this is just me, an outsider looking in," which again is like, give me a break, Alex. Mm-hmm. "This is Tom Brady's best friend and longtime confidant and business partner. Outside of Brady's wife and family, the guy who's closer to him than anyone else in the world."
Agreed.
So, like, you're no outsider looking in. You're the ultimate insider.
In fact, I would say that, you know, if you include the comments that Brady's father made in the last 2 days, you're talking about two people who are the closest to him other than his wife.
So he said, Guerrero said, "The interesting thing I think it was like Bill never really ... I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age," Guerrero said. "I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved. So you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work." So that's the big breakaway quote from Alex Guerrero. What's your thought on that, Miss?
Well, so look, there's some truth to what he's saying in that, you know, Bill didn't deal with it and evolve with it. That I agree. And I thought it was a shot at Belichick's age. That's what, how I sort of read it. Like, you know, Bill's out of touch. The thing has passed him by. He doesn't know how to deal with this. And so this was a problem. You know, but part of it I found to be sort of offensive. It comes off as so, so sanctimonious. And Tom is so elite. He deserved to be treated differently. And all the guys on the team knew that he deserved to be treated differently. And this is Belichick's point. Like, I'm not going to segregate him from the rest of the team. I'm not going to do that and treat him like a different being because it's going to piss those guys off. So I think, look, again, I think there are some things in that story and some complaints that Brady has that are legit. Others are not. And so I'm losing my train of thought here. But at the end of the day, you know, Brady is not going to get the latitude he wants other than the money. You know, he didn't get the money either. Okay, so go ahead, go. I've lost my train.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was that big of an ask to have the trainer around. I know that, you know, Maz, you believe that it undermines the football operation and that it's, you know, you're taking players away from what those guys do in terms of how they train guys and get guys in shape. And Brady felt like he had the answer. But just in terms of him and having the guy around on the sideline and able to train him in an appropriate room and not up in one of the suites, I don't think that's that big of an ask. I don't think it's an ageist thing that's a shot from Alex Guerrero in that way, shape, or form. I just think that, you know, they were just looking for Bill not to be a dick about that.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, I think Brady has partly a case here, but not a full case. I'm with Bill on some of this stuff as it relates to Guerrero and as it relates to how Brady was treated. Okay, so I think Brady has a full case in my mind when it comes to the contract. I think he had every right to expect him to be paid at something approaching the market. And after taking all those discounts over the years and buying into the total bullcrap line that they couldn't surround him with the proper talent if he didn't take pay cuts, which was just bullcrap, that he had the right to get a real contract at the end. If he left for that reason, I'm with him 100%. The Guerrero stuff, I'm half and half. You know, Bill was a little bit too much of a hard ass at some points with the sideline and having to fly on his own and making Brady get massages at other places of the stadium. But then again, Alex Guerrero was pulling people away from the Patriots, and I say people, players away from the Patriots trainers, and there were Patriots players in there who felt pressure to go see Alex Guerrero versus the team trainer. You know, you would have receivers who, well, if I want Brady to look at me and throw me the ball, I better go get my massages from Alex versus the team trainer. And that's an impossible situation for Belichick. And so I think Belichick was right to get in on that. So I'm like, on this, I'm sort of half and half on who I think is right or wrong. But here's what is clear is that Brady and Guerrero still harbor resentments because of it. They still absolutely do. Again, this thing about at some point Brady had to get massages and get worked on by Alex Guerrero in places other than the football areas, if you will. And Tom made sure to let us all know this because in the Tom versus Time special that he had on Facebook, he had a scene where he had Guerrero working on him in a luxury box upstairs next to the sterno canisters that they use in the luxury boxes to heat the meals. And Brady made sure to put that in the special. So we saw it. Look at where Bill is making me go get my massages. He makes me go up to the luxury area in the stadium, not in the locker room or not by the training facility. I have to go up to the fifth floor, the red level, to get my massages. And he made sure we saw this in the special. And again, Guerrero's still at it. Karen asks him, asked if having his personal trainer welcomed by the Bucs has made a difference to Brady. Guerrero generalized, but suggested that it did. Quote, I do think that when we talk about athletes and their ability to function at a high level, you always try and eliminate certain variables, right? So I think the variable of convenience of being able to treat where we do the treatment and not having to go up to a suite or go into some sort of maintenance room when we were away, I think it just eliminates a variable. We managed it, and we managed it through when we were there, he went on. But now that we don't have to manage that variable, having that variable taken away, it's a lot easier. So he mentions the suite by name. Remember, Bill made us go up to the suite. Or on the road, what, they had to go into like to a janitor's closet?
Right, a maintenance closet.
A maintenance closet for Brady to get his treatment? They're still scratching that itch and rubbing that wound.
Yeah, look, and again, part of me understands Brady's perspective on that, because if you're going to bust his balls on the contract, give him some latitude on the other stuff. Make it up to him in other ways. But the trainer thing cannot happen. It cannot happen. You can't have one guy. Look, if Brady wanted his own trainer or had a personal trainer and wanted to use him somewhere, the team can't stop him from doing that. He leaves the building, goes and does what he wants with his own guy. Lots of athletes do that. But once they start affecting other players on the roster and it starts undermining the operation in the locker room, that's a totally different thing. It undermines the fabric of the team, and Bill was right on that. You can't have that guy like giving them a different assessment or a different opinion as to how to train versus what the training staff is saying. You cannot have that.
So one question for you is this starting to wear thin where Brady's letting the people around him do his bidding and Brady won't put his name to it? He was asked directly about this stuff today. I'll play the sound coming up, but he sidestepped it. And he's letting everyone speak for him, but he won't put his name to it. Is that wearing thin? Is that Weasley on the part of Brady? That's a thought for you. And
quickly on that,
yeah, go ahead.
I'll tell you, like, personally, I'm, as much as I've enjoyed this, because I do, you know, I've picked Tom over team, all that, y'all know that. And I have enjoyed this for the most part, but you do have a massive game coming up, and that's this weekend. Do the Bucks, and it's a, you know, one in the conference against the Rams, a team you could potentially see in the playoffs, maybe in the NFC Championship game. What's the focus there? You know, like, technically in the standings and for playoff seeding, what game matters more to the Bucks? This weekend against the Rams or next week against the Patriots? So I'm starting to get a little annoyed that, you know, if the focus maybe isn't there, because that's a big game for them this weekend.
Yeah, I'll answer your question. Yeah, it's starting to wear thin. I told you yesterday it's going to start turning back on Brady. It's like, all right, already, we get it. You won.
This should have come next week is what I'm saying.
Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you my answer to this. If the Wickersham book really throws some dirt on Brady and it's clear it's coming from the Patriots, and where else would it come from if it's making Brady look bad, then I can see why Brady, his father, his best friend, are firing back and offering up what I would consider preemptive strikes or getting out ahead or just scratch, you know, just not just scratching an itch, but
fighting back.
Exactly. All right. Okay, Bill, you're going to keep dumping on us and keep throwing dirt on us. Then F you. I'm just going to tell people how we feel. And then I sort of feel for them. And I can understand where they're coming from. If, however, there is nothing in that book, or there's really nothing for them to get bent out of shape about, and they're just scratching an itch from 2 years, you know, a two-year, three-year, four-year-old itch, then it's like, all right, I mean, you need to be doing this, guys. You've already won. I mean, the scoreboard, right? Exactly. The results are the results. You don't need to be doing this. But if there's something anew, if there's something that's happened this offseason, then I get it. And make no mistake, in the Seth Wickersham story, I read you the excerpts yesterday. In the ESPN.com Wickersham story from January of 2018, Guerrero takes the biggest hit. Guerrero by far takes the biggest hit. They go into all of his history with the FTC stuff and all the false advertising claims that he's had over the years. They talk about, again, players feeling pressure. You know, I'm reading from it right now. There was an unspoken pressure in the building with players wondering where they should work out. New players felt that the surest way to earn Brady's trust was to join Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, and others by seeking advice from Guerrero at his TB12 clinic and not team doctors. You know, and it goes on and on. About how Patriots staffers felt that the TB12 thing was a cult and it was taking Brady down the bad path, and he changed after he got in with Guerrero and the TB12. And it really paints Guerrero out to be some sort of charlatan and some sort of, you know, false guru and a total fraud that was dividing the team, is how the story portrays him. And frankly, that's what he might have been at the end of the day. And so if there's more of this coming in the book, then I can see Guerrero fighting back. And Guerrero said, F Bill, let's tell it like it is.
Oh, I think that's what Guerrero was, not what he might have been. And I'm not saying he chose to be that per se, but I think that's what he became in the eyes of the Patriots anyway.
So, and I think that's what he was, and I'm with Bill on that stuff. Then again, he's gone down to Tampa and they've given him free reign. There's a ton of Buccaneers players that are going to see him. He's on the sideline, on the team plane. Brady does not have to go into the janitor's closet to get a massage. And it seems to be working out okay down there. So do you look back here and say, well, they just should open it up? Brady's Brady and give him whatever he wants. You know, I think there's a case to be made on that. There is, even if I feel differently. So there's a reset on the Guerrero thing. Mix in those phone calls, and you'll hear from Brady this afternoon on this topic coming up next.
Boston's home for sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I know that you're really focused on this week again, but your trainer, Alex Guerrero, made some comments about Bill Belichick, saying that his feelings towards you maybe never evolved with age. Could you just speak to that and your thoughts on Coach Belichick and your time together?
Yeah, I have, you know, great respect and admiration for my time there. I've had great 20 great years there. I kind of spoke that the last 18 months. You know, it's a great time in my life. But, you know, really happy to be here. And I think we've done some great things in a short period of time. Really love the teammates that I have that I'm playing with here. Love the coaches. The organization's been amazing. Again, it's just a lot of gratitude for me. So everyone has, you know, protective feelings and emotions as friends and family members. And that's just part of being in sports, and you have a lot of people who, you know, because they're not out there, they want to protect, and it's a very caring, loving thing that a lot of people do. But, you know, from my standpoint, I had a great time, but really my focus has been on trying to be the best I could be for this team and trying to go out and be a winning quarterback, be a championship level quarterback for this team and this organization, because they certainly deserve it. And, you know, I made a commitment to them and I want to live up to it.
That was Brady today responding to it. Can we say it's Weasley that he's not putting his name to these accusations or charges or, you know, whatever you want to call what his father and his best friend have done in the last 2 days. But I don't expect him to. He's got a game against another team, as Murray just mentioned, coming up on Sunday. So I don't expect him to, you know, blast the Patriots or air this dirty laundry. you know, even next week, especially. It's just not done.
But maybe put the brakes on it until next week.
Or, you know.
I tell you what's coming, what I think is coming. I just said this to Mike during the break, Murray. Brady sounded, if you listen at the beginning, he sounded uncomfortable answering this question.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, well, you know.
Because he's non-confrontational.
Right.
He doesn't want to do this.
So he was uncomfortable about it. And so, you know what? I bet that after that, he, you know, and I'm just taking guesses here. But, hey, let's cool it for a while. Okay? Can we cool it? You know, now I got a game to play, and then we're going in there next week, and we're not going to make any noise next week after, and that's going to be it. Wouldn't surprise me if the Guerrero thing is the last we hear of it.
Absolutely. I'm surprised he didn't do it before.
I agree.
That didn't, you know, he didn't go into the season saying, guys, you know, Dad, Alex, when the Boston guys call you, you know what they're going to ask, and so let's just not do this. He never put that brakes on. He never. So, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't do that. And after the old man the other day, it's been very easy for him. It's not that he's got a big circle of close confidence. He just tells Alex, you know, when they call, we're not giving him anything. But he never did that. So, even today, he never said they were wrong. He never countered what they said. He just said, you understand people close to you want to protect you. He didn't say that they had it wrong. So this is how he feels. I said this earlier. You do not. He does not. And no one has a right to say, well, that's just his father protecting him, and that's not how Brady feels. It's just his old man. No, 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 no. That is a cop-out, and you do not get to do that. What Tom Sr. said, that's how Brady feels. What Alex said today, that's how Brady feels. That's just that. You don't get out of that. That's that. No, sorry. No, no, sir. All right, back to your phones here on everything. Thanks for holding patiently. Michael in the North End. What do you got, Michael?
Michael, this is driving me to a stroke. Let me tell you why, okay? How many years on this show, 12, 13 years, you say no sacred cows? No sacred cows. It destroys a team. You That's get right. an Aaron Rodgers in the end.
Well, no. I'm talking no sacred cows for the talk show, but go ahead.
Okay, but you've talked about no sacred cows for
right.
players, too.
That's right.
Okay, number two, how many times did Tom say, hundreds, Belichick's the best coach ever. I play for the greatest coach ever. He's the greatest coach ever. How many times?
A lot. So
and
what's your point?
All of a sudden, my point is that you've got to run a team as a team. You cannot have one guy with special privileges, no matter how elite he is. You know this. You
okay, so the no sacred cows thing was for the talk show. Like, it's a lousy talk show if you say, well, Bill's got a good track record. You can't second guess him. Or, well, how can you criticize Tom Brady? He's won six
Impeccable.
Super Bowls. All right,
yeah.
So no, sacred cows is horrible for a talk show, right? Maybe that was an old thing coming off of, you know, 10 years of Brady. Like, that's just that's where the no sacred cows come from. When you're running a team, better players should get some special treatment. The question is how much and where's the line?
Yeah, and there's also, they should also govern themselves a little bit too, right? So it felt to me like at the end, Brady got, he got difficult. And so that he just hard to manage and wanted a lot. And I even said to you, like, I understand the convenience factor being in the building. TB12, Mike, is next to the stadium. He could walk there. It's not like that is a huge ask either. So, like, would I be annoyed by it if I were him? Sure.
It's just enough of an inconvenience to piss you off.
I agree. Yeah, but the point is, Murray, if he's 22 and he's going next door to work out, he doesn't think about it. But once he has a resume and he says, after all I've done, you're going to make me walk over there? Like, Tom, it's a tenth of a mile.
Yeah, would we all agree that Brady is also, do you think, pretty knows the league pretty well, the history of the league?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, so who's Belichick's favorite player of all time?
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
The president of the special treatment fan.
So that's fair.
You know, so if I'm Brady, I'm like, you made all these concessions for him. You just can't do this for me. Which also leads me to leave, too. There was never really any conversations between Bill and Tom about any of this kind of stuff. I'm sure Guerrero one day just realized his key card didn't work, which probably went right up the caboose of Brady, and rightfully so.
I just think Bill ultimately couldn't accept the fact that Tom had gotten bigger than he did.
I think he hates quarterbacks, too.
Yeah,
like, he doesn't want to deal with a diva quarterback.
But more often when that happens, it's going to be a quarterback, right?
The thing's all about control. Do you have
total power and control.
Go ahead.
Which is why he loves Lawrence Taylor, because Lawrence Taylor's job is to destroy the quarterback.
We've got Brad in Framingham for Murray. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, guys. I was just calling regarding the jersey conversation, where just the most glaring example, I feel, is it was a couple of years ago when Kyrie hit that game-winning shot in Game 7 over Steph Curry, and they're wearing their sleeved with the big C on the front. It almost looks like they're playing in a scrimmage or something. I feel like in 10 or 12 years, when my kids are old enough to kind of know what's going on, they're going to think, was this a preseason game? But it's Game 7 of the finals.
Okay, so look, if MLB gets and the Red Sox get to that point where they have seven different jerseys, then I'll be with you. This is one alternate jersey that actually looks good and has meaning. So that's where we are right now. When we get to that place where it's the NBA, then we'll address that when we get to it.
I liked those jerseys the Cavs were wearing. I'm not kidding. I did. I liked them. And so, look, my big thing, too, and this is totally unrelated, because I just like the jersey and they're on a hot streak. Ride it. God, what's wrong with that? Ride it. And if you end up closing them out in these jerseys and you want to wear them in the postseason, wear them there, too. What the hell? Latch on to anything you have to latch on to as a team to bond. That's fine. As an aside, baseball gets accused all the time of being too stuck up, too set in its ways, too locked into tradition. Now a team's doing something completely off the wall. Again, the traditional red, white, and blue of the Red Sox. They're going with a yellow jersey. Now everyone's going to scream, "Why? How could you possibly forego and forsake tradition?" Like, no, you don't get it both ways. Just let them go. Let them wear the stupid things as long as they win. If they win them when they lose, then that's a problem.
All right, coming up next. In the Wickersham article from January of 18, it was a Brady hit piece. And I think of all the hits that Brady took and all the dirt that I think the Patriots or Belichick's people or whoever threw on Tom Brady, there was one thing that stood out maybe more than any other. And I think in Guerrero's interview with Karen, he hit back. He hit back and countered with an accusation of his own. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a big commitment. Sitting here, laying here, 3 days after the year, getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? You know, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
So that was Tom Brady in the Tom versus Time thing at the end of the 2017 season. And I believe that voiceover occurred over the video of him being massaged by Guerrero in the luxury box at Gillette because Bill wouldn't let him get his work done by the locker room or in the training facilities, and he had kicked Guerrero out. And so Brady had to go up to the red level and next to the catering carts get a massage from Guerrero. And Tom made sure to put that in the special to let everybody see, look at what Bill's done to me. Look where I've got to go with my guy to get my work done. He let us all know. And in his interview today, Guerrero went right back to it and mentioned having to massage Brady in the luxury suite versus the training room. So that was one sort of punchback from Guerrero and Brady. Here's another one.
This is a good one, too.
And I think this is good. All right, so if you go to the Wickersham story, January 2018, I thought one of the biggest blasts that Belichick's side gave to Brady was basically blaming Brady for getting his teammates hurt. Here's the excerpt that I'm talking about, the section that I'm talking about. Wickersham writes that, again, this is at the end of the 2017 season. Brady has been hit a lot and battled various injuries. Atypically, he has missed a lot of practices and, in the team's private evaluations, is showing the slippage of a 40-year-old. OK, Okay, so right there, Wickersham has team sources saying he's showing slippage, that of a 40-year-old. And then he says, on a specific fourth quarter play against the Chargers, for instance, Brady had a clean pocket and a first read open deep, possibly for a touchdown. But Brady got rid of the ball quickly over the middle to receiver Chris Hogan, who had nowhere to run and was hit hard, injuring his shoulder. Hogan missed all but one game the rest of the season. Quote, Tom was trying to get it out quick, a Patriots staffer says. As fragility has increased, nervousness has also increased, end quote, from a Patriots staffer. Okay, so basically one of Belichick's coaches, if not Belichick himself or whoever, a Patriots staffer, blames Brady for trying to get the ball out quick, and that as fragility has increased, nervousness has also increased. That was their evaluation. In this story with Karen Garigian this morning, Guerrero said, Guerrero shed light on Brady's recent knee surgery to fix a torn MCL he played with all of last season. According to Guerrero, it was the same injury Brady suffered in week 10 of the 2018 season at Tennessee. Okay, meaning he's now won two Super Bowls and two conference title games on the road with a bad wheel. That's as an aside. So he's played with this torn ACL or this MCL injury since week 10 of 2018. Huh, week 10 of 2018. Guerrero says, quote, during that one Tennessee game, was it 4 years ago? Remember when he ran and got tackled? That's where he did it, Guerrero said. We just played on it and did our work on it. And we'd stabilize the knee. Finally, after last season, I'm like, Tommy, as you age, this is something you just have to get fixed as soon as the season is over. And he's doing great. The rehab went well. We prepared him for the rigors of football. So now we're into it. 2 weeks in, so far, so good. Week 10, Tennessee, 2018. Remember the play?
Oh, yeah.
I looked it up today, yeah.
What was the play?
It was a throwback from Julian Edelman to Brady with about 11:40, 11 and a half minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
It was like the Philly special play, basically, yep. Wasn't it? And it was the same, in case you're to jar your memory, Vrabel then ran the exact same play to Tannehill and completed. Brady stumbled all over himself and fell down without being hit and, like, you know, really sort of butchered the play. And then Vrabel ran it with Tannehill. Gained a big gain on it, and after the game, Vrabel said, "Yeah, I knew we'd do a better job than Tom, you know, busting his balls." If you remember that sequence, but long story short, Brady hurt his knee catching a pass, not throwing a pass. So you know what I think? I think that's Guerrero blaming Bill for the injury.
Oh, I think that's exactly what it is.
And letting everyone raise, and even the way Guerrero did it during that Tennessee game. Was it 4 years ago? Remember when he ran and got tackled? Huh? Was that it? I can't remember exactly. He knows exactly what play it was. He knows exactly when it was.
Because Brady's been bitching to him about it. So, yeah, I hurt my knee because they sent me out as a receiver. So I think that they...
Tit for tat.
And you know what? I remember during that time were saying, what the hell are they doing? The guy's 40 years old.
And if
you're trying to get him killed?
My memory serves correct. That Monday, Jay Stu's phone was telling him Brady got hurt in his knee in that game, on that play.
Fact.
That's one piece to it, but just the fact that, I don't know, I think this is a back and forth.
Yeah, yes. It was him saying Bill put Tom in harm's way and got him hurt in 2018. That's how it read to me.
Because the question was, how's Tom's knee? That was simply what, I mean, Karen wasn't going back to.
Right, good.
Karen basically, you know, said what wanted to know about, because Brady had a knee surgery in the offseason. So Karen's talking to the trainers, how's the knee? I think it was probably as simple as that. And he brings up, it was during that one Tennessee game. When was it? Like 4 years ago? Remember when he ran and got tackled, said Guerrero? Well, that's where he did it.
Oh, yeah. No. That's exactly their way of saying, oh, you're going to accuse us of hurting people? Well, you put us in harm's way, you jackass, or you donkey. So that's exactly what that was. That was a shot back there. You know, and see, on that one, too, I do look at it and say, look, you're the player. You do whatever the coach asks. But that was stupid. I mean, you know, where's Brady going? Who's he out running? Right? They did that too. And remember the game with it was
the Super Bowl.
No. But beyond that, earlier than that, they remember the game they did. Was it the mortar kick against Philly, and they called that trick play?
Yep. Yeah.
And they threw like a 15-yard pass to Brady up the sideline. It was like, well, what the hell did you use that in that game for? Like, what was the idea of that? I don't know. I mean, I'm going down a road I don't need to go down. But I think that that's exactly what they're saying.
So, anyway, I thought that was significant.
We owed you one, Bill.
Exactly. A couple more quick calls. Here's Patrick in the car. Go, Pat.
Hey, guys, just two quick points. First of all, Murray, that point about LT, that may be the best take of your life in comparing him to Brady there. I think about it, too. You build on that. They were making excuses for LT for bad behavior. In this case, Brady's actually trying to do stuff to be better and help himself and help the team. So, trust me, you don't want to bring a bad guy into the locker room. But I think to characterize Guerrero as a snake oil salesman, I mean, he's turned Tom Brady into Benjamin Button. The guy is unbelievable. It's hard to argue with the results. I guess my question for you guys would be, and Mike, maybe this is for you, is would you rather the way that Thomas handled this, where for the first 20 years he kind of just bit his tongue, didn't really say much, and now passive-aggressively is doing this, or would you rather the dink up in Wisconsin doing what he's doing while he's still with the organization?
Oh, I'd rather be Brady and have Brady in, like, in every way, shape, and form.
Not even close.
So, like, that's not, I mean, obviously, give me a break. But I just want to go back to the thing that you said, because we had a call earlier that tried to do the same thing, that obviously what Guerrero's doing is working. And, like, Guerrero's the reason Brady's still playing to 44. I just firmly reject that. Guerrero works with a lot of players. And Brady's not the only one. He worked with several players here, and he's working with over 30 guys in Tampa. And he was originally introduced to Brady through Willie McGinnis, who was the first guy to really discover Alex. And I don't see anyone else playing to 44. Tom's the only guy who's doing it at a high level.
No, the reason he's playing is his maniacal nature, and the game is softer now. You can't do anything. You can't breathe on these quarterbacks. Those are the two biggest reasons. But the biggest one of all is his maniacal nature.
He's special. It's his will.
He's special is the reason. It's not Alex's rubdowns. And they're good rubdowns. I've talked to other players who use him and say he gives the best massage of anyone in the business, and the way he works on injuries is better than anyone I've ever been with. Like, that part I get is true. There's some live footage of it, in fact.
And I mean, if he was really that big of a miracle worker, you wouldn't have to go under the knife for a knee surgery from an injury from, again, 2018, you know?
At the end of the day, when Brady tore his ACL, he had to go get surgery. And when he tore his MCL, he played on it for a while, but he still had to go under a knife. It's not a miracle worker. Brady's the miracle. Brady's special. I don't think Guerrero is. And I think Guerrero's kind of shady and kind of bad news, and I think Bill was right to be leery of him. I also think he took it too far. But whichever side of that you land on, you have to know. Like, this is not further confirmation of the two things that I think Brady was driven out by were the contract and how he was treated. And I think Guerrero was speaking directly to the how he was treated part.
Yeah, and look, really, they go hand in hand. I mean, they're effectively the same thing. It's that Brady wanted certain latitudes and liberties that came along with being Tom Brady, and Bill wasn't going to give them to him, whether that was salary related or otherwise. Bill was going to make, you know, Bill wanted to keep Brady under his thumb, which meant leverage and power. And so he stuck it to Brady every chance he got, and Brady grew older and resented it.
Okay, let's do an email, shall we, Jimmy, please?
Yeah.
It's the Moncast email of the day!
Sacred cows, Felga.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Work it out.
And I think Mez is a boo.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
The email today, of course, is protected by Mimecast, which is the internet and email protection software you want if you own a business, because nothing gets through these guys. So if you want to safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, risks of ransomware, and anything halfway interesting, visit Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. And again, that's what it sounds like with Guerrero's magic treatment, massage treatment. David writes in, Murray's an effing hypocrite. Seriously, Murray, you hate the Red Sox because the nerds are blowing you? You, the same fraud who has been blowing people over choosing Tom over team, said 1,237 times so far for 18 months? You hate baseball stats? Huh? How many times do I have to listen to you comparing how many TDs Tommy Boy has thrown versus any other comparison, Cam Newton in a season? Blah, 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 blah. Empathize with your hate of the Sox. I hate them also. But with your petulant, childlike, blowing attitude about Tommy, I seriously hope he has handed his head against the Patriots so that his horse face, why, that's not nice, has to, as you say, drink his meals through a straw. Your thoughts?
Well, they're praying for injuries for Tom Brady. I don't like the sound of that. And if you think it's been obnoxious just the last few days, wait till next week. That's all I'll tell you.
Oh, no, next week Murray's going to be insufferable. There's no way around that one.
It's the week after you really have to worry about it.
Well, oh, yeah. Right, yeah, potentially,
after
yes.
The game.
That Monday. Whew.
Meanwhile, Chris sent this one in yesterday, so I saved it because I thought it was pretty interesting. He says, guys, I've known this for years, but it literally stopped me in my tracks on my run this morning while listening to your podcast. In football, you field 11 people at a time. Bill has had, at minimum, three of the undisputed GOATs at their position in Adam Vinatieri, Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady, all of whom were locally beloved and high-character guys, and he drove all of them away. All three of them with his arrogance and repellence. I don't even know if that's a word. It's unbelievable. Signed, Chris.
It's a good point.
I agree with Vinatieri. I think he's the greatest kicker in NFL history. And Brady's, without question, the greatest player in NFL history, certainly quarterback. And I'd put Gronkowski number one at tight. He's had the three greatest at their positions of all time.
I mean, he drove Gronk to cry on stage.
And he wouldn't pay any of them at the end, and he drove them all out of the team.
Of course, he would tell you that he made two of those three.
Vinatieri being one of them?
Well, no. Gronk and Brady, that he made them into who they... Because Vinatieri predated Bill.
Okay.
Right? That was Belichick. I mean, that was Barcells.
Yeah.
But he would tell you that the other two were, you know, a product of his operation. That's what he would tell you.
Anyway, final word comes your way next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
That nobody.
Would be nobody.
Nope, nobody did.
So earlier today here on Felger and Maz, we discussed how the Patriots have handled rookie quarterback Mac Jones through the first couple of weeks, which led to hearing some sound from national talking heads on the subject, like everyone's favorite, Nick Wright.
If your goal is to develop a quarterback, this is not the process for it. And it's like, oh, well, the Patriots have such history developing quarterbacks. No, they don't. They got Tom Brady, and that's it. They didn't. And so this idea that this is the way to go about it, no. Yeah, it was pretty good. And if you believe that Brady would have stunk if he'd been asked to push the ball downfield, that's fine. But I will take the Trevor Lawrence learning as you go as opposed to the Mac Jones who's going to be one of the 14-year-old kids that still needs training wheels on his bike.
So I thought that was a pretty entertaining take. I wish everyone else on the panel would shut up.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying.
It's like a bad acid trip. Music, a million voices, one guy screaming like, oh, God.
The chirping. Stop. Just, God, let him get through the thing and then go. You talk, I talk.
Baby bird. Like, just... enough.
Freaking painful. Just shut up.
Cut their mics.
Seriously? Oh, right? Oh, God. It's just a pet peeve of mine. You talk, I talk.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Shouldn't be that difficult.
It's really not. You go, I go. That's it. Simple as that.
That was excruciating, that thing to listen to. Absolutely freaking excruciating.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.